Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so I've entitled this message, What to Do When You Aren't Doing Well. Now, I'm not sure if there's anybody in this room who might need a message like that, or if that ever happens to you. But the scriptures actually paint interesting pictures, and they give us insights through what other people go through and through what has been recorded for us. And one of the things that you find is that life has seasons, and maybe seasons is too strong a word. It has seasons, but I'm trying to use that in a more brief way. Nobody expects, well, this is Calgary, so I've got to be careful what I'm going to say. I was going to say nobody expects spring to last 2 weeks. But in Calgary, you don't know. What I mean is you can go through periods of time that actually in the grand scope of things aren't that long, but they're really rough. They're really difficult. And I'm referring to seasons in that context. The reason why I want to use that is one of the reminders that we have about seasons is that they change. Right? It doesn't stay winter forever, even in Calgary. Even in Calgary. It doesn't stay spring forever. It doesn't stay summer forever. It doesn't stay fall forever. It doesn't stay difficult forever because the Lord is our Savior. I've said to you many times, and I will continue to say so, the grand privilege of our life is not that our life gets ordered nicely, perfectly, has a bow on it. We get to walk with the Lord. And I, again, if you find a better way of expressing that, please let me know. We are never apart from Him. The moment we have believed in Him, we are never apart from Him. I mean, it's strictly speaking correct to say no human is very far from the Lord. He's with everybody. But to those who have put their trust in Jesus, something has happened whereby we are one spirit with Him. We are never apart from Him. And the grand privilege of our life is not that He is our fairy godmother or godfather, that He waves a magic wand whenever we're in trouble. We need the right light to turn red, so He waves His magic wand. We need something to happen going for us, so He waves. No, He teaches us to walk. He lets us make choices. He lets us make choices, and then the thing about that is that we always face the consequences of choices. But in the midst of all of that, we get to walk with Him. He helps us. You know, I have this picture in my mind where the Lord, I want to do something. God says, I don't want you to do that. That's not the wise thing to do. This is going to hurt you. I do it anyway. He comes along anyway. Okay, I'm still with you. Okay, this is not where I want you to go, but I'll come with you. And in that relationship, whatever we are, wherever we go, whatever is going on, whatever we're doing, we have a Savior who will save us in the midst of it. Okay. There are some practicalities that I want to consider. I just want to first set the stage that it is quite possible to be a Christian, to be loved of the Lord, to have wonderful experiences of the Lord, and still encounter times where because of the adversary and how he presses against us, because of poor choices that you made, because of not being deliberate to do what God said in terms of how we watch over our hearts, we can end up not doing so well. And it's the case that God does not leave us there. Okay, so I want to start by reading a few scriptures. I'm going to read, we used Psalm 27 last week in a different context, but I want to read the last few verses of Psalm 27. Verse 11, it says, let me start in verse 13. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. 27, verse 13. Are we in the wrong place? There we go. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Hang on, let me just set my timer here. Okay, that was Psalm 27. Again, I encourage you to read through the whole thing, but we did that last week. I'd like you to go to Psalm 130. Psalm Verse 1, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I didn't put this in the notes, but I'd like to go to Psalm 4. Oh, sorry, Psalm 3. And then we'll go to Proverbs chapter 4. And the preamble of this psalm, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, the glory, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Okay, stop there. Proverbs chapter 4. And probably pretty familiar to you by now. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Okay, I'll stop there. So as I said, I want to just briefly touch upon the thought. What do you do when you're not doing well? Or it seems things aren't going well. There are lots of psalms. In fact, the psalms I chose, I'm not sure they're most illustrative of this. But there's these psalms that, for the lack of a better way of putting it, the tone of it is celebrating the victory that God has granted them, right? Psalm 27 starts off, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, right? And then he has that interesting line, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's many psalms that are sort of triumphant in that way, but there's also many psalms that the person is clearly going through a rough time and having a difficult time. Right? Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry out to you. Right? And some have interpreted that as like something, he's down and down, and all that's going on is way above his head, as it were. And from the depths he cries out to the Lord. There's lots of psalms that have that sense of, I'm in trouble. There's some psalms that say, like, where are you? Why are you not answering me? Where are you? And I would like to say that, first of all, to illustrate that the scriptures themselves paint the picture that it's possible to be in a phase, in a chapter, where it seems God is not near. The victories that you were enjoying before, they're not happening now, right? And I want us to first recognize that's not a sign that something is wrong about you, or that you've somehow been disobedient. It's not necessarily proof that you are indeed the worst Christian that has ever walked. It's just life, okay? Now, I don't mean to imply by that it's inevitable, that it must happen that way. I just want to recognize, God recognizes that we go through things like that. But he is our Savior, okay? He is our Savior. Good stuff, bad stuff. Victory, seeming defeat, he is our Savior. And again, I want to emphasize, you need to understand that what your life is really about is the privilege of walking with God. Whatever's going on. Now, it's easy to say that as if there are two sections of our life. There's my everyday life and all the stuff I got to do, and then there's that part of me that just seeks after God. And I don't want us to have that separation. We are a being who, as we go through these lives that we have, we get to walk with God. It is in the midst of the everyday stuff that we have to deal with that we learn what God is like, and we get to know Him, right? He doesn't want us to be simply guided by knowledge. He wants us to be persuaded about what He is like, which can then govern what I choose next, how I behave, what I will do, right? So when there are times in your life when you seem to think God's not near, or God's not answering me, whatever, if what you're dealing with is the consequences of sin, God is still the answer. God is still the answer. And it's worth us just thinking through, what do we do when we're not doing so well? The first thing I want to point out to you, at least in the Psalms that I read to you, and you'll find this often, is the psalmist talks about waiting for the Lord, right? Now, I spoke with you not that long ago about the word that is in the Hebrew there, and it is not principally about just be patient. God is busy. He's got other things going on. Just be patient. That is not what it says. Now, you know, let's not deny that in the worst of our circumstances, God could just snap His fingers and everything has changed. It's not like God gets busy like we do, right? There are things on my desk that I have yet to get to, and they've been there for months. I just haven't got a chance to get to them. That is not God. Meaning, God does not have a desk and a pile of stuff, and He just never gets to it. Okay? That is not what's happening in our lives. There is a complex mix of consequences of choices that you make, consequences of choices that other people have made, grander things that we cannot perceive in the spirit happening. As we've mentioned before, we walk in a hostile atmosphere. We live in an atmosphere that is hostile to the purposes of the Lord in your life. We do not struggle with flesh and blood, Ephesians tells us. We struggle with principalities and powers, spiritual forces that we cannot necessarily measure with the tools that we normally use to govern our lives. How am I feeling? How am I thinking? How am I reasoning? And all that kind of stuff. Stuff can happen that goes beyond your ability to explain. And so the answer to what to do when you're not doing well is not figure it all out, but rather to run back, be established, be even more established in the reality that God Himself is my Savior. Okay? I'm not always, things can happen that affect my emotions, and especially when I'm not practiced, my emotions can very easily rule my life. Okay? When I'm young in the Lord, when I'm just not doing well in the Lord, I've been resisting Him in some way. It's not hard to end up in a place where your emotions are what's governing you. And so then in that state, when you feel like God is not answering you, it's very easy to become persuaded of things that are just not true. God has left me. God doesn't answer my prayers. I don't hear the Lord. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? This is life down here, but the issue is, first and foremost, God is our Savior. We cling to Him. That idea of wait for the Lord, as I've said to you before, has got to do with this idea, the best that I can paint of it is, be braided together with the Lord. Okay? So when you're not doing well, what is the antidote? Be braided together with the Lord. Right? Now, you might think, well, how can I get braided together with the Lord when the Lord is not answering me, when the Lord is far away, when the Lord is not here? One of the things that I'm not sure that we give enough attention to is the absolute necessity. Okay, we're talking about a life that gets to walk with the living God. Okay? Now, I know that we have language that talks about God being our friend, being our brother, but He is the living God, and there is no one like Him. And one of the key aspects of someone like you and me getting to be in relationship with the living God is the need for humility. Okay? By that, I don't mean you put yourself down. But by that, I remember, remember who you are. At your worst, if the worst things happen to you, he hasn't changed. He is still the Holy One, high and lifted up, marvelous in all his ways. His ways have not changed to make your life miserable. He doesn't just get into a snit, into a mood and say, I don't like you, like maybe people in our lives can do. And we have to start by remembering, I am just a man. I am just a tiny, puny little creature, and the Lord has saved me. And I will start by honoring him. Right? So part of the thing that we have to do is be willing to take our emotions, our perceptions about how things are going, why things are going the way they are, what's possible, what's not possible, all of that. And remember, I am given the privilege of walking with the Lord. And where I've got to start in my being strengthened is to go back to what I know for sure. He is the Lord. And he is worthy of my praise, my thanksgiving, my trust. So one of the things that God tells us to do is to remember. Okay? I didn't take you to this passage in the book of Lamentation. This is where we get that song that we sometimes sing, the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. The context for that song, though, is in the book of the Lamentations, the judgment of God has fallen severely on the people of Israel. Okay? Now, sometimes we go through stuff, and we think this is God just judging me or something like that, God being against me. And we are always wrong because the blood of Jesus is speaking on our behalf, and every reason why God would be against you has been extinguished. But in the case of the people of Israel, God spoke and said, I am against you. This is what's going to happen. They had a promise from God. The land that they dwelt in was the fulfillment of a promise God had made to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And one of the things he said when they entered the land was, if you do right, if you listen to me and do right, you will be blessed in this land. If not, one thing that will happen to you is you'll be taken from the land. It was a sign of judgment and curse. And that's exactly what happened. And the book of the Lamentation is written by Jeremiah, who was the last prophet who spoke to the people of Israel in that time, pleading with them. And his heart, if you read the book of Jeremiah and the other things that he wrote, it's very clear that his heart, he loves the people of Israel. And he is heartbroken about what's happening. And it's in that context that the book called Lamentation is written. It's his lamentation, his sadness pouring out about what has happened to Israel. And it is in the middle of that book that he says, this I bring to mind, therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end, but they are new every morning. So in the midst of a book that is the reaction to God's judgment falling, he remembers what God is like. So we can take that lesson. Now, we do not live under the provision and the way of God dealing with his people that the Israelites have. We have something far better. Far better. So far better. And so when we end up in times when it feels like I'm doing terrible, I'm not well, I'm down in the dumps, everything is going badly, I don't want to read my Bible, I don't want anything to do. The thing we have to remember is I walk with the living God. I need to humble myself. What do I know about God? I don't know a lot about why my circumstance is the way it is, what is going on, but this I need to do. I need to be woven together with the Lord, which means I need to remember and speak. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Great. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Because when you are not well, one of the things that you will be tempted to do is to forget who God is to you. And if you think that's God's job to remind you, you're not listening. This is why I said we have to humble ourselves. He said, you remember. Do not neglect so great a salvation, is what Hebrews says. And so one of the things that we need to do in that time is just take a moment and say, I deliberately choose to remember you are gracious, you are kind, you are merciful, you are good. You know, each one of us has a testimony. Maybe we'll go back to using part of our potluck lunch times for people to give their testimony again, because I found that very encouraging. You have a testimony where God did things for you. It's not going to be the same as anybody else's. And the things that God helped you with in the time that they helped you, they were essential. They made a big difference to you. And nobody has the right to say, that's it? Like, what are you talking about? Well, hey, I don't know about you, but I've had trouble that when I look back at it, it says, I don't understand why that was such a big deal. But at the time, it was make or break. And God saved me. Okay? Now, looking back, you think, okay, was that really such a big deal? Okay, maybe not. But at the time, it sure was. And that's where he met me. And so we use these things. So to be braided together with the Lord is to bring back to mind and to speak and to reflect and to meditate over who God is. I would have despaired unless what? I believed I would get my act together. No, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is the man in the circumstances remembering, without him, I have nothing. I only have despair. So I'm being stirred to remember. And those turned off. Okay? So we remember who he is. Who he is to you personally. What has he done for you? Okay? Always start with what he has revealed that you know. Okay? Because if you only start with what he has done for you, especially when you're not doing well, that can be manipulated to be diminished in its value. Right? And so we always start with, what do you know that God has shown himself? Well, he is always merciful. The steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. He is the Lord who sees and provides. You have to fill in the gap. And maybe, I don't know what we'll have next week. We can do a little bit of practice at this. Okay? You need to remember who the Lord is and give him the highest place. You know, even when I'm absolutely at my worst and I'm miserable, and I'm even mad at God, he is still worthy of my thanksgiving. And so therefore, it is a wise thing to say, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Because you are simply worthy of it. Even in the worst of my times, the worst of my places, you are still worthy of my thanksgiving. Sometimes what happens to us is our situations become so big to us that we don't see, why should I give thanks? And this is what I mean about humbling yourself. At your worst, he is still worthy of every praise. The fact that you get another day is because of the mercy and the kindness of God. And keep that close to you, right? The other thing that we see from the psalmists is they cry out to the Lord. They don't act like what's going on isn't going on. They don't pretend, oh, everything is fine. So when we say, you know, we walk with the Lord, that does not mean pretend everything is good. When you are sad, tell him. When you are in despair, tell him. Cry out to him. Call on the Lord. Say, I ask for help. I am not doing well here, and I need you to strengthen me and lift my head. Because he is a very present help in trouble. Right? He is a very present help in trouble, is what Psalm 46 says. Abundantly available for help in tight places is one way to translate the Hebrew into English. So I can tell him, Father, this is miserable. Help me here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm feeling so down, but I cry out to you. And I ask you to lift my head, and I just give thanks to you. God is not after the appearance of a relationship with the Savior. He's after you understanding, I have a relationship with God who saves me, right? So we cry out to the Lord, and then I don't want to say one is more important than the other. These are all things that we need to be involved with. We relate to God, we remind ourselves, we talk to God, and then we talk to ourselves. You need to speak to this, to yourself. Hope in God, my soul, praise him. Right? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. You have to talk to yourself. We have an adversary. And in the midst of our circumstances, sometimes what we end up doing is doing his job for him, if I could put it that way. I'm not sure job is the right word, as if this is his assignment. We take on his part, and we tell ourselves how terrible we are, and how nasty we are, and how everything's going to fail, and it's not good. You are the worst Christian. And the devil say, actually, I need to take those lines down, because I got to remember those things. We get creative about how terrible we are. That is not what we're supposed to do. You don't got to deny that you made a mistake. You don't got to deny that you don't get it right, that there's all sorts of things going on wrong in your life. You don't got to deny it, but what you've got to emphasize is, who is God to me? Who is God to me? I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but now I am alive in him. How do you know you're alive in him? Well, that's what the word says, so I will agree with it. How does it feel to be alive in God? Well, to be quite honest with you, sometimes it feels fantastic. Other times, I don't even feel it. Other times, I feel down. But I'm still alive in God. What I'm trying to get across to you is the privilege of your life. God doesn't require us to pretend we are something we are not. He doesn't require us to deny what is happening in our lives. He doesn't require us to act like something is true when it isn't, or something is not true when it is. I'm in trouble. I'm down. I'm depressed. What he wants of us is to remember, but I have a Savior, and this is how we walk with him, right? If we stay in that sort of childish notion that God is my, as I said, fairy godfather who just comes along and makes everything better for me, we have misunderstood what he is doing. He saved you, and now he is saving you, taking you from being a creature who is governed entirely by their lusts, by their what they want, what they feel, what they want to do, how things are going, and making them to understand, I am a child of the living God, and I am here for his good purposes, and I get to find out what he's like, right? So that requires you then. He designs it such a way that you've got to make choices in the midst of when you're not doing well, right? I don't know about you. How should I put this? I typically am not down in the dumps, but I can get down in the dumps, okay? I know I can relate to that completely. It can be the trigger can be as simple as I stayed up too late, okay? There was a time when I would stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when I was younger. I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, there's still times when I end up having to do it, but I don't want to do it. The next day, I'm really affected by it now. And when I am tired, I am susceptible very easily, especially if I'm mentally tired. I don't know if you've ever realized this about yourself. There is a tiredness that comes from physical labor, and there is a tiredness that comes from your mind thinking about stuff. And the two are completely different levels. Your mental tiredness and anguish has a far bigger impact on you than simply physical labor, right? It's good to work and work out and all that kind of stuff. The mental stuff can cause you a lot of trouble. So especially if I'm mentally tired, I am very easily susceptible to God's not doing anything or whatever. Oh, what a mess I am. I constantly get reminded about, I could have done much better 5 years ago, and I wouldn't be dealing with this problem now if only I had done what I was supposed to do back then, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very easy to start tumbling down. What do you do? Well, I want to be braided together with the Lord, right? Let me end by just saying this. This being braided together with the Lord is something you need to do in the time that you're not doing well, but it is also something you need to be doing when you are well. It needs to become your pattern. It needs to become, do you know what I mean by a reflex? We just do it automatically, right? Without necessarily thinking about it. There are things that we do that as a reflex because of the way our body is built. You put your hand on the stove, you pull it back right away if your body is working properly. There are other things that we just always do because we've learned, we've trained ourselves to do them, right? You didn't, I don't know whether you know how to ride a bike, but if you know how to ride a bike, you weren't born knowing how to ride a bike, right? You aren't born knowing how to stand on one foot. Those are all things that are practiced. It's not a big deal once you do them often enough. Well, being woven together with the Lord, you need to understand He is everything for me. So I want to develop this pattern, especially when things are going well. I want to develop the pattern of saying how great He is and who He is to me. So that when things aren't going well, I have some practice in knowing what to do. Right? It's not a grab the parachute, put it on, I don't know how this works, and then hopefully it works sort of thing. You become practiced. You know, the idea of when you get squeezed, what comes out is what's already in you. So when things are going well, put in the things that will sustain you when things aren't going so well. So when do we praise the Lord? Every day. Why? Because He's worth it, A. B, I want to be woven together with Him. I am just a fragile nitwit. But I get to be braided together with the living God who is unbreakable, who is the strength of our lives, who is beyond the best I can think of. That has to be my strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the defense of my life. That has to be a part of who I am. So as this week unfolds, I want you to be very deliberate to start practicing. Who is God to me? Not who do I feel like God is to me. He's the guy who made promises and never comes to pass. Not who I feel. What do I know? Who is He? He is the God who is merciful to me. I do not deserve His mercy and His kindness, and yet He is merciful and kind. That needs to become like a foundation within you. When you're young, it's not surprising that we wobble and we flop around. And it's just part of being young, right? But as we grow, the strength of our life moves from the strength of our being young and strong and fresh to He is my light and my salvation. He is the strength of my life. So, again, remember who He is. Cry out to Him. Speak to yourself, okay? And let this be a pattern for us so that we navigate this place down here successfully. Believe it or not, some of the biggest breakthroughs you will have in the Lord are when things are difficult, not when things are easy. And if you look back in your life, I would be curious to know whether that is a pattern that you see for yourself or not. I have found out more about the mercy and the kindness of God when something difficult happened than when everything was going great. If I'm quite honest with you, when everything is going great, it's very easy for me to sort of get slack. And just imagine, this is always going to be. Well, no, it's not that way. But when things are tough, you find out something durable about God. And that's what He wants, things that endure. Right? Father, in the name of Jesus now, we ask You to work with us in these things. Again, blow away and make of no effect what is not of You. But the precious things, Father, we want to present to You hearts of faithfulness. You said, You asked, but when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Well, Father, I ask You to do a work with each of us, whereby if we are still here, You will find it. Because we have endured in the endurance of God. We have been wrapped together with You. You are our strength and our shield. You are the defense of our life. You are the lifter of our heads. To You we can cry out and pour out our anguishes. And You are the Lord who restores and strengthens. I ask You, Father, lead us in a level path because of our foe. See if there be any hurtful way in us. Lead us in Your everlasting way. For You are the Lord, our Savior. You have saved us, and You are the defense of our life. And we just give thanks to You. Have Your way in Jesus' name.